hand as he comes. Oh, before I give it to him, though, tonight, Lee and Joe Phillips, who y'all know, will be at Salem doing a comedy show. So we are not having Sunday night service. We're going to join them tonight at 6 o'clock for the comedy show there. So come get a bowl of laughs.
That's right. That's right. It is so, so good to be here. I want to thank my friend for inviting me to come and have somewhere to be this morning. If you have your Bibles or your device, turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Now, some of you have heard me preach before, and you know I love to tell a story, and I love to use storytelling to point people to Jesus, and sometimes some humor, and today's going to be a little different. You know, one of the hardest classes I took in Bible college was a survey class. Everybody else thinks those are the easiest. But here's the problem with the survey class. This guy is writing stuff about the New Testament with one hand, erasing it with the other, and mumbling, and I mean going fast. So, I mean, when it would come time for a test, you'd have 300 multiple choice questions. I can't think like that. I don't even like multiple choice. And then he'd have true and false, and he'd say, one word makes it false, it's false. I mean, it was monotonous. So we're going to have a little New Testament survey class through Acts chapter 3. We're going to cover a lot of ground, which is usually not how I do it. But all we can do is obey the Lord, ain't it? Ain't that all I can do is try to obey what I think God has for us today? Do y'all trust that I fretted and prayed about it? And then we're going to try to do what God called us to do. Let's pray one more time. Jesus, we love you so much. And Jesus, it doesn't matter whether this is my style or whether it's something that I would do, what matters is that we obey the Holy Spirit. Now, when this happens, Lord, usually it's for somebody, maybe for somebody specific. But, Lord, I know you love people enough sometimes that you'll orchestrate a service just for a couple of folks. And it may touch many folks, but if that's the case, Father, what your will be done. Jesus, we believe you are who you say you are, that you can do everything you say you can do. Jesus, we believe you're God's one and only Son, and you're our one and only hope. In your name we pray, and everybody said. So Acts chapter 3. Now, before we start down Acts chapter 3, I'm telling y'all better drink your little Gatorade. We're going to go fast. But I want you to know what's just happened. What just happened in Acts 1 and Acts 2? Where are we at in the history of the church? We're right in the middle of Pentecost. All right, you ready? Acts chapter 3. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. Now, let me tell you something. If you want your prayer life, some of you have a really good, consistent, steady prayer life. If you want it to get better, or if some of you are having trouble, started praying. Let's just be open and honest. The devil fights us every time. Reading the word and praying is going to be tough your whole life because the enemy's going to combat it. But if you really, you know, some people talk about a quiet time. I don't really know what that term means. It seems, you know, I had a quiet time. Here's what I have found that Peter and John taught me of how to improve my prayer life. You need a time and you need a place. See, they were going at the time of prayer to the place of prayer. And I'm saying not just a quiet time. You need a place where you pray. I got a Dove stool. It's a 7-gallon Dove stool. It's about that tall. It's got a cushion that I take out and put in the stool and turn it upside down. Do y'all know what a Dove stool is? It's like a bucket that's camouflaged, and when you go to hunt, shoot doves, you use it as your seat, but you can carry your shells and everything in it. So I got it, and I got it bungee corded to an oak tree looking over a creek. And that's where I pray. That's where I pray. I go out my back fence, walk about 30 yards and down there, and I'm looking at a creek. That's where I pray. And you know what? I made a rule for myself on that old Dove stool, on that bucket. When I'm on that bucket, I can't pray. I don't pray for me. I pray for me in my house. I pray for me going down the road. I pray for my kids. But on that bucket, I intercede for other people. That is a place of intercession. That's where I pray. And Some of you, you just got a designated time. You got to make a specific appointment with God of when to pray. Now, a lot of people are going to tell you, get up early. Some of y'all don't need to talk to nobody early in the morning. But like some of y'all are fresh as a daisy at 11 o'clock at night. And I'm telling you, by 9 o'clock at night, I am melting. I have fallen asleep in the lazy boy chair with a death grip on the remote, promising people I ain't asleep when they come try to take the remote from me. But at 5:45 in the morning, 5:30, I'm clear as a bell, fresh as a daisy. I'm a morning guy. You don't have to be early. You know what God wants us to do? Give our best. Some of you may need to get everybody down, put to bed, and go spend that quiet time. It doesn't have to be early in the morning. God's everywhere at once. He knows everything, can do anything. There ain't nowhere. Listen, you just give him your best. But there's something about having a time and a place to pray, and that's where Peter and John were going. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them who entered into the temple. All right, we can learn a lot right here. All right, here we go. You ready? Number one, let's get this guy's perspective of what his life looks like. This is what this man's life looks like. Now, we got to hit every little fact. Number one, he was lame from birth. So he never took a step. He didn't know what walking was like. Number two, he had some friends who loved him, because what they would do is they would come by, I don't know if it looked like a little stretcher, a blanket, I don't know what it is, but they carried him. Number three, where did they carry him? To the church. They carried him to the church. Y'all, I helped Convoy of Hope with disaster relief. And I've been helping a little bit down in Georgia and Alabama. You know, we had a pretty good tornado here a week or two ago. And I've been going down there. You know what I've never seen? I ain't never seen one atheist church van at disaster relief. I ain't seen a satanic church. I ain't seen none of them. You know where they come when they need help? They come to where there's hope. And we're supposed to be hope for this world, aren't we? They come into the church. They may argue with you. They may argue theology with you. They'll pick at you and criticize you. But let me tell you something. When they need something, they're coming to the church. I didn't see Budweiser down at the tornado disaster relief. I didn't see no hemp, no dope wagon. You know what I seen? No church van after church van after church van after church van coming to help people who are in need. And when they are hurting and when they are in need, you know where they're coming? Right here to this church. They didn't carry him to the bar. They carried him to the temple at the time of prayer. So every day they went by, gathered him up, toted him to the temple at the hour of prayer. Wonder, before we move on, wonder what he would have considered it to be a good day. I mean, early in the morning, they come by and they get him, and they're carrying him to the temple gate. In his mind, what would he have called a great day? I mean, in his wildest expectations, he ain't never walked a step. I don't think he had it in his heart and his mind that he was going to walk home that day. Maybe he thought, if I got enough money where I didn't have to come back for a couple days. Maybe if I got enough money where I could just stay at home for one day and they wouldn't have to tote me up here and I wouldn't have to beg. Just keep that in the back of your mind. So they carried him. They laid him at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them who entered into the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. Listen. We spend a lot of time we spend a lot of time arguing with people. And I think sometimes we get a little too addicted to being right. We like to be right. But really, what our focus should be more than being right is being righteous, being Christ-like. Because let me tell you, there's going to come a time in your life, you don't have to argue with conclusions you come to yourself. Somebody's going to leave this church here in a minute. We get through praying, somebody's going to leave here. You know where you're going to go? You're going to go find a Mexican restaurant. I know you are. I know you. I can see it in your eyes. Some of you are already thinking about a chimichanga. And when that gal walks in plates up there to the table, you know what she's going to say? They say it in every Mexican restaurant in the world. Hot plate. Hot plate. Woo, watch out. Hot. Now, you can take her word for it that it's hot. And you can be careful and you can dodge it. But you know what? Eventually, you'll stick your hand up there. If she puts that hot plate on your hand, she'll never have to tell you that again at the Mexican restaurant, Willie. Because once it scorches at one time, you have learned your lesson. Listen, I'm not saying we pray hard times on people, but I'm saying sometimes it's better to pray people to come to the conclusion themselves than to try to argue them into this thing. Because here's the truth, just like this guy, he's at the temple gate. He's asking Peter and John for money, and money ain't what he needs. And the people in your life that need God, they don't know what they need. Do we think money would solve his problem? Money don't solve problems. If money solves problems, will you please explain to me how the people in this country that's got the most money have got the most problems? He thought he knew what he needed. The world, listen, quit arguing with them. They don't know what they need. But I tell you what, if we'll be in the right place at the right time with the right mindset, and they come to that conclusion themselves and we're ready, Lord can do more in their life than they ever hoped or think. See, he thought he needed money. Money wasn't going to help him. He didn't have no idea what was headed his way. Something about being in the right place at the right time with the right frame of mind, with the right mindset. I don't have to argue people in. If God proved himself real to me, he can prove himself real to them. Now, there are times to stand up and say something, and there's times to take a stand, and there's times when the time is right to make a statement of faith. But there's also time to hush and let them figure this thing out. Just love them through it. Because once they touch the hot plate, you don't have to argue with them no more. They know it's hot. See, Peter, all right, let's reread that because we missed some. Verse 4, and Peter, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look upon us. Let's do verse 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms, and verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look at us. Now, that's the difference between concern and compassion. There is a difference between concern and compassion. You know what concern does? Concern will say, oh, that's terrible. Oh, ain't that sad? And ain't nothing wrong with concern. Concern's a good trait. It's a good quality. But concern ain't enough. See, what Peter did was he stopped and looked him in the eye. See, concern goes, oh, but compassion stops what it's doing and comes to help. That's the difference between concern and compassion. And we need to be full of the compassion of Christ. Peter stopped what he's doing. Peter could have just thrown a church cliche at him. He was headed to pray. He was headed to do something important. He said, look, when I get in there, buddy, we are going to petition the Lord for you. We're going to pray for you. But that ain't what he did. He stopped me, made the man look at him. He said, stop, whoa, 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 look at me. And Peter stopped what he was doing. Listen, this is the only harsh thing I'm going to say. Everybody raise your right hand. Say this with me, Big Lee. If what you say is the truth from a heart of love, I vow I will not get mad at you. Y'all done promised in church you ain't going to get mad at me. And I'm going to look straight up there so nobody won't think I'm looking at them. Sometimes it's easier to throw money than it is to stop and look at them. Ooh. Sometimes we'd rather throw a little money than have to stop. Ain't nothing wrong with being generous. Ain't nothing wrong with kicking in. I wish I was here. I'd buy a peanut butter pie. Anybody make peanut butter pie? I'd buy a peanut butter pie for what y'all raising money for on April 12th. I love helping. I'm a charitable guy. But this dude right here this day, he didn't need money. Sometimes it's easier just to do that and keep walking. But that ain't what Peter and John did. When the Lord spoke to them, they stopped and they looked and they showed compassion. This guy's asking for money. He didn't even need money. All money was going to do was sustain him to keep doing what he was doing. John said, look on us, verse 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. What do we have to give? What do we have to give this world? We can give them everything they'll ever need. I've been on about 55 missions trips overseas. I'll never forget the first one. We went to a little town called Barranquilla, Colombia. We're out on the coast of Colombia building a church. Now, this is back in the late, this is 1979. I was 14 years old. 1979. The whole first day, we took concrete and poured in forms to make the blocks we was going to build the church with. We had to pour the blocks, then let the blocks settle and then dig. I mean, we built a church about half the size of this room, just an old cinder block church with a metal roof and a poured floor. But, man, kids kept walking by hungry. I kept wanting to give them, I had a peanut butter and banana sandwich. I'm like, we over here pouring concrete. We need to feed these young'uns. And the Lord spoke to me, he said, I tell you what, if you'll build a church, if you'll give them hope, if you'll build them a church, I'll make sure they don't never go hungry again. We got to be willing to give them what they need. What do we have? We have the answer. But we got to believe in our heart that Christ is the answer. Peter told him, quick, I ain't got no money. Silver and gold I don't have. But what I do have, I give you. We got to be ready and willing and operating in faith to give the world what they need. Keep rolling. We ain't even halfway through. Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. He made a statement of faith. And there's going to come a time for us, if we're going to be truly lights in this old dark world, we're going to have to make statements of faith. We're going to have to step out in faith and believe God can do what he says he can do. I was praying with a couple when I pastored. I only pastored one church for 3 years down in South Georgia. I hadn't even moved in the U-Haul. I stopped on the way into the town where I pastored. I stopped at a town, at a hospital, and somebody in my church, I didn't even know, I'm brand new. Brand new to the church. My youth pastor called and said, man, there's a lady in the church in Tifton, which is 30 miles before you get to Pearson, which is where I pastored. And she's dying. Said she was healthy as a horse this time last week. She's got some kind of infection, and they can't figure it out. And they've tried two or three different antibiotics, And they have just circled up and told the family, if this antibiotic don't work, ain't nothing we can do. Now, I'm a brand new pastor. They don't even know me. I mean, they voted for me. They heard me preach one time. I walked in. We circled up in that lobby, and she had a big old family. I bet there were 40 people in this circle. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm going to heal her today. And I said, good. Lord, that's great news. He said, you need to tell them that. I said, Lord, wait, whoa. I said, if I tell these people you're going to heal their mama and you don't heal their mama, this is going to be a tough pastorate. I heard a good, again, clear from God. You know, if you got something arguing in your spirit, that's not God. God don't argue. You know, let me tell you why. When you're right, you ain't got to argue. And he's all-knowing. But let me tell you what he won't do. He doesn't back down, and he keeps coming. He just keeps bringing that word to you. He ain't going to argue with you. He just keeps telling you. So the second time he said, all right, I'm going to touch her today. And I said, hey, guys, I just want you to know I feel in my spirit pretty good. And the Lord said, no. That was you went in there limping. That was half-hearted. That ain't faith. So finally, I just stepped to the circle. I said, I believe God has spoke to me, and I've heard from him clear, and God's going to heal your mama. Next day, turn around. Day after that, she came home. But that was hard to do. And you're going to have to do it. It ain't just up to your pastor. It ain't just up to the full-time vocational preacher. God's going to speak faith into you. And you're going to have to believe God can do what he says he's going to do. And that's what Peter did. He said, I'll tell you what, I ain't got no money. But what I do have, I give you. Rise up and walk. And then the most beautiful part of the whole story to me is the Bible says he stuck out his right hand and he helped him up. See, this boy ain't never walked. It ain't like his muscles got healed and he remembered how to walk. Remember at the beginning of the story we made a point that he ain't never walked. He didn't know how to walk. Hey, listen, the people in your life that you're praying for, the people in your life that God's going to rescue, you know what? Not only are you going to have to make a statement of faith, you're going to have to put your faith in action. And sometimes you're going to have to help them up. You're going to have to help them up. Sometimes they're going to relapse a little bit. Relapse is a part of recovery. Now, when they do, we can just throw them down the road and give up on them and tell them they're going to have to start over and earn your trust again. Or what we can do is we can stick that right hand out. We can help them up. We can help them up. Peter and John said, look, I'm gonna help you up. When he did that, when he made a statement of faith, and then he put action to his faith and helped that man up, God healed that man. And the Bible says he started walking and leaping, praising God. He went straight to the temple, and the people in the temple recognized him as the guy who was begging at the gate. Now listen, when they done walked by this guy for months or years, throwed him a little penny every now and then, and they see him praising God in the temple walking, you ain't got to schedule what time revival starts in. You ain't got to argue. You ain't got to turn to a scripture. You know what? That's what we need. We need to help people up. We need to see genuine moves of God. We're still moving. He took him by the right hand and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. After leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he that sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And as the lame man which was held Peter and John. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. What's missing? I mean, I go as hard after God as I can go, and I preach, I believe in God, and I have faith. What's missing? How come I don't see things like this more in my life? I love God. I got faith. I think it's a combination. First of all, have we gotten so busy that we're more about concern and compassion? Second of all, when he speaks to me, am I willing to stop or would I rather just throw an offering and keep rolling? Next thing is, will I stop, look him in the eye, and make a statement of faith? Then when I make a statement of faith, do I have put my faith to action and help him up? This is a blueprint for how to impact Viola, Arkansas. This is a blueprint. It's a strategy. Well, first of all, we have a time and a place of prayer. Second of all, we the Lord finds us where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to be doing. Third of all, we know the difference between concern and compassion. We're willing to put a statement of faith, and in that statement of faith, we put to action. Stand with me this morning, if you will. Just stand with me. Praise you, Jesus. Just bow your head, close your eyes where you are. This is going to be different too, but I promise you, I ain't doing a thing in this world but trying to obey the Holy Spirit. Ain't nobody looking around. Heads are down, eyes are closed. I'm not questioning your devotion to God. I'm not questioning your salvation. Your name's in the book. You're going to heaven. You love God. And you prove that every day. But I wonder if somebody here this morning with heads down, eyes closed, say, Big Lee, if I'm going to be honest, I've let my prayer life slip a little. I ain't been there on time. I hadn't been there to the place regular. But if the Lord will help me, I'm going to improve on that from this moment on. If you would say that, nobody's looking around, just me. Just stick your hand up just for the count of three. I let it slip, Big Lee, but I'm going to catch another gear. Stick your hand to there, wave. Just Boy, it's true of all of us. I wonder if somebody here would say, Big Lee, to be honest with you, I get so busy sometimes. I'm afraid I'm operating a little more out of concern than compassion. Now, we can't stop every person we walk by that needs us. That is not what I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to stop every time. I'm saying when the Spirit leads us, we know the difference between saying all and stopping and helping. I wonder if anybody would say this morning, Big Lee, be honest with you, I've been operating maybe a little more out of concern instead of out of compassion. And if the Lord will help me, I'm going to make that adjustment. If that's you, just slip your hand up and wave at me a little bit. Yeah. It can happen to us, can't it? Sometimes it's easier just to give an offering and keep going. Big Lee, if I'd be honest this morning, if I just being forthright and honest and open, sometimes it's a little more important for me to be right. I get a little too caught up in making the political point or winning the argument or the debate. But if the Lord will help me, I'm going to worry a little less about being right and focus a little more on being righteous. That's you sticking out. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I don't care nothing about winning. I don't care nothing about making a political point to the point where I can't circle back and witness to the person I'm talking to. I ain't going to burn no bridge with nobody. Arguing. I know in my heart that when you stir the hornets up like we've done this morning, I'm telling you, God's going to give you an opportunity this week to help people up. He's going to do it. He's going to test your faith and see if we mean what we say. He's going to test and see if you really mean, can we operate out of compassion more than just concern? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we love you so much. Lord, I just sense in my spirit, I really think it might even spook or intimidate people in this room if they knew how close this church was. To revival, to a move of God that's going to make a difference. And Father, sometimes we think it has to be whole scale, full-blown 180-degree change. And Father, you've taught me sometimes it's just an adjustment from concern to compassion. Sometimes it's just taking 1 minute to stop and look somebody in the eye and help them up. Lord, that Spirit, the Holy Spirit that comes through us, that gives people hope, Father. Not condemning people, but gives people hope. The Holy Spirit convicts people to draw them to you, not condemns them to turn them away. Lord, the truth is there's a lot of people in Viola, Arkansas, that think if they won the lottery tomorrow, their problems will be over. And we know that ain't true. They don't need money. What they need is a move of God, just like this young man who did never dream that morning that he would walk home. Lord, help us to be people of prayer and people of action and people of faith. They can help people come to the God conclusion on their own. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh. Praise your name, Jesus. Show us clear, Holy Spirit. Show us clear. Show us clear what you'd have us do. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. If you're here this morning and you need prayer, may not have not a thing in the round world to do with what we talked about this morning. Maybe you have a physical need. Maybe you just need prayer. I want to encourage you to come. We want to pray with you this morning. I've left plenty of time. I did not preach too long because I wanted to have the opportunity to pray with you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Anybody else? Lord, I need prayer. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
We just thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in this house, God. Lord, I pray that you help us, to move our concern to compassion, God. And that we show people compassion and love, Lord. Not just a hand out, but a hand up. Oh, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in this house. We thank you for what you're doing in this place. We just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. If we could get the ushers to come, we're going to receive an offering for Big Lee. If you're still praying in the altars, feel free to stay. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for Lee. We thank you for Hidden Hook Ministries, and we thank you for what he does, Lord, and reaching students across the country and people, Lord, through storytelling and preaching the gospel. Lord, I just pray that you help us to be a blessing in his ministry, Lord. We just thank you. We praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. Don't forget tonight, come and join us over at Salem. We won't have service here. We're just going to join them over there. Big Lee and Joe Phillips will be doing a comedy night over there. We're going to go join them, be a part of them. You know, anytime we have a special service over here, they come and join us. So I'd like to return the favor and go and join them tonight at 6 o'clock. So, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for these people. I thank you for what you're doing in the house, Lord. I pray that you just continue to move, Lord, in this place. Lord, we pray that you watch over and you protect them as they travel to their homes and bring them back here safely. In your name we pray. Amen.